All right, hello everybody. Thank you for listening to Through the Garden. If you're listening to this, it is at least March 7th, 2024. And Connor Bedard scored his first hat. Oh no. That's what
we opened the show with you. Wow, I was not expecting that.
But you know what we are starting the show with? Our Lord and Savior, him, the original him, Mitchell Trubisky, has signed a deal with the Buffalo Bills.
Huh? Props to Mitch. Props to Mitch.
Pump it up, Alex.
Yeah, yay, cool.
I'm sorry. Come on.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
We got a lot to talk about, boys. We got some Bears. We got some Cubs. We got some Sox. We got some Hawks. Maybe we get into Bulls. NFL, MLB. We can talk rugby. We got some stuff to do, you know? So let's just start right away with the Chicago Bears, because that's what we do. Jordan, you are our new official Bears correspondent. Uh-huh. There are a lot of interesting moves in the NFL, but obviously the one that pertains to us mostly is the decision on Jalen Johnson on the franchise tag. But that also takes a second seat to the quarterback situation here.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I think the quarterback position or debate's resolved. Everything from the scouting combine seems like the Bears checked most of the boxes off. Not Caleb Williams, the player, but Caleb Williams, the person. If you read the piece in Sports Illustrated, almost all of their player interviews were spent towards, hey, what do you think of Caleb Williams? The Cliff Kingsbury interview from January was, hey, what was Caleb Williams like? What was his dad like? And they even had that second meeting with the Williams camp on Friday night to kind of, you know, begin the process of what it would look like to have Williams as the face of the franchise. Talent's going to be one thing, but Williams is going to be a different type of personality at the quarterback position that I don't think the Bears have had before. But I do think they are equipped to handle it.
So, it's a different personality, and it's also a different skill set as to, yeah, he has a skill set. So that's a little different here too, which is exciting. I am curious though, if the Bears have maybe stabbed themselves in the foot here with how obvious the situation is in terms of the Justin Fields trade, because we got a whole hell of a lot of things happening and a lot of moving parts now that Russell Wilson is getting paid like 50 something million dollars or whatever it is to not be quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And now he can go somewhere cheap. I don't know where you guys stand on this, but it almost feels like what could have been a second round pick maybe a month ago is now dwindling very, very quickly. Alex, where are you at on that?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I could definitely see the fact that there's going to be a less of a compensation than we hoped for initially. And I still think there is a market for him out there. I really do. I don't think that there's just not a market for him all of a sudden. I just don't think it's going to be as robust, or you're not going to get the value you once thought. And I do feel like you can list a number of realistic teams. We talked about the Falcons endlessly. We talked about even like the Patriots, even though they're high in the draft order. I don't think it's likely, but I don't think it's absolute zero that they wouldn't go after Justin Fields. And then we've talked about Pittsburgh. It sounds like they want to stay where they are, which I don't think they should, but that team has come up. Now Denver has an opening. Maybe, sneaky, sneaky maybe, depending on what happens in Seattle with a new coach. You know, what if Seattle, despite what Geno Smith has done, I don't know if it's 100% there either. So there will be teams out there, heck, even teams maybe looking for a backup. You never know. So would teams be out there still be interested? Yes. I just, you know, maybe it is a third round pick as the top value. I would not be surprised.
We all know too, like during this time in between the Super Bowl and the draft, the ebbs and flows of what happens with rumors in the NFL of how the stock of players just rises and falls on like a moment's notice.
Oh yeah, it's so crazy.
Maybe, So maybe we're in one of those situations where I'm feeling like with Justin Fields, but also like you said, there are a lot of teams that could be coming back around for Justin Fields. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on obviously where Russell Wilson goes, I think is a big piece of this, but also a big piece of this is where Kirk Cousins signs, because somebody, but after those two figure out where they are, there's going to be, like you said, a pool of like 3, 4, 5 teams that are kind of left out in no man's land. Another one that I'll bring up to you, Alex and Jordan and listener, is that this is a crazy one, but are the Niners super set with Brock Purdy?
No.
Could they move a draft pick, like a late 2 that they have, maybe move that to go get Justin Fields as a quarterback? I don't know. Like, there's just a lot of things that could happen. That's just me throwing another team in the pot, honestly. But you saying Patriots is really interesting to me, because what if they trade him and then they draft Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Right.
The Patriots all of a sudden become super relevant, because their defense is not horrible.
No, it's not. I mean, part of the reason that the Patriots kind of lose games late, you know, when things get out of hand, is their offense can't move the ball. Their defense is on the field the whole time, and then they get tired. It's exactly how the Bears lose how many games, when the defense keeps them in it for the first 3 quarters, but they're doing the heavy lifting for 80% of the game, and then eventually they get tired out. So, yeah, I mean, if you add a few weapons to the Patriots, you know, maybe things even out a little better, but they're still going to be in a really tough division. But I do feel like they're trying to get better fairly quickly here, and whether that's drafting a quarterback or trading for a quarterback, one thing for me is for sure is you can't keep rolling with Mac Jones as your number one guy. It's just...
Oh, he's done. He's toast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's
right.
Done.
Ironically, from the same draft.
Yeah.
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, you hit the narrow right on the head, Tommy. San Francisco's a team to watch. Also, I wouldn't even rule out Miami. Miami has a contract decision soon coming up on Tua. So, and we've all seen that sideline clip of Mike McDaniel on the sideline when the Dolphins were playing the Bears, and he was fascinated with what Justin Fields was doing. So,
yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't rule out, especially if Fields' trade value gets to that 3rd-round, 4th-round pick range, wouldn't rule out the Dolphins on a 3rd-round, 4th-round pick. Fields comes in, maybe serves as a backup to Tua, maybe the next answer if they don't want to pay Tua.
Man, that, yeah. So there you go. I think we just named half the league that might be interested in Justin Fields. So maybe we should.
Yeah. And there,
maybe there is just one. And wait.
And there is one team out there that I think people might suggest that I think could be less likely, and that's the Commanders. I feel like they're going to draft a guy. I mean, they have been kind of going through this churn and burn through quarterbacks, and I really feel like this is their time to draft a guy, even if it's not going to be Caleb Williams. It could be Drake May or whoever falls to them, because they're going to have a good draft position too. So
Drake May just makes too much sense for them, because I mean, North Carolina is very not far from Washington D.C. You know, and I don't know where Drake May is from, but him having close enough ties to the D.C. area, you know,
I just see it.
Yeah. And new coach, new quarterback, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. You know? And that's the thing. When all the Commanders, Caleb Williams stuff was happening prior to it reporting coming out that the Bears were probably heavily picking Williams, everyone was just discrediting May as an option for the Commanders. But here's the thing. May ran an air raid offense in North Carolina, which is pretty similar to the offense that Cliff Kingsbury runs. So it's not like the Commanders would be taking that huge of a leap by taking May.
Yeah. And I'm still not sold on the Steelers not being interested. They can't stand Pat with Kenny Pickett. You can't.
And I think also
the fact that they're selling it too as a competition with Mason Rudolph, that should be your first red flag that maybe this isn't the guy.
Yeah, and I think the Steelers are probably just putting that out there because they know the pressure is kind of on the Bears as well. It's our lying season. It's a negotiation season. Honestly, if I had to wager a prediction, probably would say Steelers, only because it does sound like there is some real smoke to Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta.
Yeah, I think Atlanta, it's either going to be Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields. And it really depends on what Kirk Cousins does.
Yeah. I still think, if I'm a betting man, I still think he goes back to Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, but you never know.
Yeah, did you guys see on the, I think it was a Score, they spent at least 10 minutes trying to sell me on Justin Fields getting traded to Minnesota.
No.
I swear to anything holy, if the Bears trade in division a quarterback, I'm done. I'm super done.
There's two teams we can rule out. Vikings, the Bears won't trade Fields to the Vikings. And we can rule out the Raiders for obvious Luke Getsy reasons.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And real quick, if you want to read more about that situation, Jordan, you want to plug your blog?
Yeah. So, just recently became the editor of Bear Goggles On. They're within the Fan-Sided Network. So we're doing a lot of cool things from March, a lot of cool things planned for what should be an eventful offseason.
There you go. So go follow
that
blog.
Nice.
Real quick, too, Jalen Johnson got franchise tagged. I think this was not a surprise to anybody. And honestly, I think they're going to get a deal done. I don't see him going anywhere.
Same. Yeah, I'm not. And I was listening to a podcast and they got so offended how the Bears are treating Jalen Johnson by placing the franchise tag. And I really think franchise tag deadline is just kind of like a made up day for the NFL. Like, hey, let's have another event and
start up some drama.
Right. And it's really nothing. As long as the team and player are in good standing, there's nothing to be worried about. Everything still is on the up and up with Johnson and the Bears. So, I think a deal gets done before July.
For sure. Yeah. So there you go. That was Bears talk. All right, boys. Nobody raised their voice. Love it. Look at us. We're growing. We're maturing. All right. Now let's talk about something that I might raise my voice on. Chicago Cubs. We're in the baseball world now. First off, I think we should talk nationally and then we'll bring it down. Lucas Giolito, man. That's heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah, that's a tough break.
That stinks. Probably out for the year, torn ligament in the elbow. That stinks, dude. I hate that for him. I really wanted him to go to Boston and absolutely shove. And now we're not even going to get to see that in the first year. Thank God he has the player option on the second year so he can opt into it. But man, that was heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals, they have a little situation with Sonny Gray. He was supposed to be their opening day starter. Now he's got some hamstring situations going on, so he's out for a little bit. They don't think he's going to be ready for opening day. Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell still sitting out there ready to go. Michael Lorenzen is still out there, so there are options out there. And if I think Boston should 1,000% be doing something about something, because them just sitting there is crazy to me. But
I don't think they are either.
I think that owner is just That owner is kind of crappy, which is just wild that Boston's putting up with this. I think Rafael Devers is going to be like, I don't want in on this anymore. So
yeah,
that's my hot.
He kind of already, that was so fascinating, because I think back to when the Cubs convinced Dansby Swanson to sign with them. I'm almost like 75% positive they had Rafael Devers' name circled as a guy they were bringing in, and then the extension happened last spring training. So watching his status play out with a Red Sox team that's kind of stuck in flux is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. So I do have a fear, though, that Cardinals are going to do something that involves either Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell, which would hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But both, we'll see.
Part of me doesn't.
Yeah. That makes you scared?
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know. I'm really getting vibes that they don't want to spend anymore.
I don't think they want to spend more, but I think they see that this division is probably up for grabs.
Yes.
Yeah. And winning the division, although the Diamondbacks made it look pretty easy, winning the division certainly helps when you're trying to make it to the World Series.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And I think,
I think the contracts are coming down to the point where the Cardinals, especially if it's Montgomery, the Cardinals would probably
jump.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, that if Montgomery and Snell and Lorenzen and these guys, these pitchers that are still out there, if they don't sign in like the next week, they're not going to be ready for opening.
I mean, we look at obviously the Cubs with Cody Bellinger, the Giants with Matt Chapman. I think they signed at just the right time for them to get about a month's worth of games in before opening day. But yeah, you're talking,
and it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for a position player to get ramped up than it is a pitcher.
Yeah, because you're talking ideally, even if they sign within the next week, you're probably only looking at one or two starts where they'll only go in two or three innings. So,
Yeah. So this division is going to be super interesting. I think it is going to be between the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Reds. I think the Reds are not going to go down quietly. And you know what? The Reds have been like pesky, but not winning. I think that's what the Pirates are going to be this year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people are underestimating that team. I look at that team's got some moxie. And they
that's
got
a
some
70-75 win team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think people really underestimate them. I would not be surprised if they flirt, not necessarily with a winning record, but they're not going to be a pushover. And that bullpen looks really, really nasty. And even their starting pitching staff, without Paul Skeens, not saying it's great, but it's not the absolute trash heap it once was. And you get O'Neill Cruz back. If Reynolds does what he does, if Key Brian Hayes is healthy, that team's not just a 100-loss insignificant loser anymore.
Honestly,
and
though,
Paul Skeens watched for him because, sorry, go ahead, Jordan.
I said, honestly, though, the Baltimore Orioles from a few seasons back where you kind of saw it coming together. They were playing competitive baseball, and then the Orioles just took off. I think that's what we're looking at right now with Pittsburgh.
The only thing I think that's a difference is in the future, Pittsburgh isn't going to invest like Baltimore potentially will or has.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
these guys will get good, and then they're going to trade them.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Pittsburgh's ceiling is probably the type of season they're going to have this year where it's 70, 75 wins. Okay. Let's trade away. They might get lucky like they did in, 15 when they made the wild card, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I look at it. Yeah.
We saw it in, 2019 with Josh Bell. Remember Josh Bell was having a crazy good year?
Yep.
And the Pirates were kind of right there. And then they traded him and then they just went down so fast. So, it's going to be, I really like that young team in Pittsburgh. I really do. And obviously, my wife being from Pittsburgh, I hear her family say words a lot about the Pirates. So I got a couple of them coming and seeing the Pirates here. We'll probably go over there and see the Cubs. So
for sure.
It's a good team to watch. And I think the Brewers are going to be in the basement. So let's talk Cubs. Because, boys, I got a hot take. Jordan already knows my hot take. So he's not going to be as surprised. But, Alex, I got a hot take for you.
All right. Let's hear it.
I'm going to give you a statement, and then I'm going to give you the starting lineup for the Chicago Cubs on opening day 2024.
Okay.
My opening statement is I never want to see Christopher Morel play third base ever again. By the way, Christopher Bell is a NASCAR driver.
I was going to say, wow, he's going to be doing like donuts at third base.
Right.
When he's in like a mid donut, the ball's going to hit to him and then the car with its momentum is going to bump it all the way to first base. That's impressive.
I never want to see Christopher Bell play third base for the Chicago Cubs because he's a NASCAR driver. But
I
also never want to see Christopher Morel play third base for the Chicago Cubs in a competitive standings. So now you're saying, who's going to play third base? Glad you asked, Alex, because here's your starting lineup for opening day. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Lead off, Nico Horner, second base. Second, Dansby Swanson, shortstop. Third, Christopher Morel, designated hitter, where he belongs. Fourth, Cody Bellinger, center field. Fifth, Seiya Suzuki, right field. Sixth, Ian Happ, left field. Seven, Michael Busch, first base. Eight, Yan Gomes, catcher. And playing third base and batting ninth, number 13, David Bodie.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know why?
Oh, boy.
Because you bringing in runs offensively is fantastic. But how many are you going to give up on the defensive end if you're playing third base? David Bodie, right now, is the best defensive third baseman that the Cubs have.
Oh.
He is the epitome of a Craig Counsell guy. He is a guy that nobody knows his name nationally, but is good at baseball.
They did that one night in 2018.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And he said that third base is a very fluid situation right now, and he's not going to. So why not a guy that you're paying $5 million or more
to not even be on the 40-man roster?
Not even be on the 40-man roster. Put him at third base until you give me somebody that can do it better, because there isn't anybody right now that can do it better. And in July, I'm going to say Matt Shaw is the best third baseman, but we're not there yet.
Nick Madrigal played a pretty mean third base last year.
Yeah, I would say my only...
But I trust David Bodie's bat more than Nick Madrigal's bat.
And I don't trust David Bodie's bat. I mean, no offense. I think David Bodie should be Yeah, I think David Bodie should be on the Major League roster. I would much rather have him on the Major League roster than Maris Mastroboni. I do think with David Bodie, we kind of run ourselves into this conversation every spring when he has a phenomenal spring training, but then the regular season starts and we're kind of reminded that he's a 4A player. Having said
but
that,
here's the thing. He is an insurance policy. I need insurance right now because I don't have a third baseman.
Well, I think Nick Madrigal, to Alex's point, Nick Madrigal isn't an answer at third baseman, but I think he is the best fielding third baseman that the Cubs have, even more so than Bodie.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If you needed somebody on this team to teach Christopher Morel how to play third base, who would you ask him to talk to?
Dansby Swanson. I mean, I know he's a shortstop, but I'm sure he can teach third base.
Okay, all right, fine. Found the loophole.
Jordan, good answer.
I hate you. Found the loophole. I don't know. David Bodie, veteran guy. He's 31 this year. He's seen the major leagues. He's seen AAA. He spent all AAA down there last year.
There's a reason for that.
I understand that. But I got to think that maybe I'm drinking the spring training Kool-Aid that everybody does every year.
Gulp.
But you have an argument with Nick Madrigal. That's fair.
I will say, I don't want my everyday third baseman being a sub 400 slugger.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like,
we are talking about a 9-hole player that's going to be batting 8th or 9th in the lineup every single day, but there is a better chance he's not going to give up a run than anybody else playing third base, because Patrick Wisdom, third base, weird arm. Nick Madrigal, fine. Defensively, he's okay. But Christopher Morel, I'm done with the... I'm not saying I could do it better either. This is me complaining about somebody that gets paid more than I do to play a child game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't with the grounders in the glove and then they just drop down. I can't with the terrible throws to first. It's I'm done. The experiment was great. Everybody had a wonderful time. Stop it. Just be the DH and hit a bunch of bombs.
Go ahead, Jordan.
I was going to say, I will say, like, the main argument against David Bodie, and ultimately probably will be why we won't see him at the major league level again, is that he's not on the 40-man roster. And the Cubs value every single spot on their 40-man roster. Sure, there could be a loophole if, say, this Caleb Killian injury is more serious than, like, a minor injury. You can place him on the 60, then you open up a spot. But I think the Cubs are just kind of hoping eventually Bodie will call their bluff and, you know, refuse an outright assignment. But for right now, given his contract, there's no reason for him to kind of hold any grudges.
So I also think that there is good that could come out of David Bodie being on the opening day roster for the Cubs too, despite being an okay third baseman that is in the range of everybody else on the team of being, well, fine, whatever. What if he goes out and is the opening day third baseman, has a great couple weeks, and shows that he can hold his own in the major leagues and becomes a trade piece for when we need it in July?
Oh, boy.
I'm drinking Kool-Aid. I know.
Dog days of spring training.
The point is, I can't have Christopher Morel as my third baseman. I can't do it anymore.
So can I give you my full reaction to this?
Yeah, you can hate me.
Oh, I don't hate you. Listen, I'm in the in-between camp because I'm not as extreme as I never want to see it again, but I do feel like there's an awful lot of people just dismissing it like it's not going to be a problem. And I think that if it doesn't get better, it will be a problem. I don't want to pretend that Christopher Morel's fielding at third is not a problem, because I think it is. Can it be fixed? I'm not sure. Maybe it can be serviceable. All I want is semi-respectable. It needs to be better than what it is. So I'm not in disagreement there. But when it comes to third base, and if we're going to bring David Bodie into this, I mean, I'm okay with David Bodie being that guy who comes up if there's injuries and you just need a guy to fill in. Like, that is, to me, a perfectly okay spot to put David Bodie in. But that really is my limit, because he played 41 games in 2022. That wasn't last year, that was the year before. Numbers were respectable: 259, 315, 431, four home runs. The year before that, 2021, hit 199 with an OPS plus of 64. So, you know, David Bodie can give you a good at-bat every now and then, he can draw a walk, and he can pop one out every now and then, but I don't, unless we have to, I don't necessarily want David Bodie taking up a roster spot unless it's out of necessity. Necessity depth is fine. I will also say this, for 70% of last year, I gave so much shit to Miles Mastroboni. I was constantly bitching about Miles Mastroboni. And I think one of the main reasons is because the bald man was putting him in as a regular everyday guy when he clearly was not. But when he became more of a bench 26 man, I actually thought he did pretty well in that role. He started hitting a little better. He had some better at-bats. He played some solid defense. So Miles Mastroboni, if you're using him as a 26 man, I think can provide some value. I just don't want him playing nearly every day. With David Bodie, I'm okay with that on emergency basis if needed, but I just feel like the days of him being on an opening day roster, I just think those days are behind us, unless Jordan, like you said, maybe the injury to Caleb Killian becomes more severe and they need to make a change on the 40-man roster, then okay, if there's an opening there, I don't want to force him onto the roster at this point.
I don't think it's forcing him on the roster because, and this is the last point I'll make, I promise, and then we can move on to not David Bodie. But so I'm not necessarily super worried about the offensive side of David Bodie right now, because I know he'll be whatever. I have him in the 9 hole, 8-9, somewhere in there, whatever, right? I'm more concerned with defense. And last year,
that's fair.
The league average fielding percentage was .986. David Bodie threw 107 games playing third base in the major leagues, has a .988. That is above average. That's all I need. I just need your round average. On the field, I need your round average. If you give me 250, 260 at the plate in the 9 hole, great. But I need your fielding percentage. I need to know that if there's a grounder to third, there is somebody that is capable of scooping it up and throwing it directly to Michael Bush. That's all I need.
And I don't think that's an unfair argument.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that's unfair. But then this is where I would circle back to Nick Madrigal if it's not about the offense, because Madrigal, for all his shortcomings as a player, and there are a ton of shortcomings with him as a player, especially as an offensive player, he actually got the job done, and he did it at an almost elite level. And if you look at his advanced metrics, yeah, his throw from third base to first base still looks wonky, but he made it work. And if you look at some of his advanced metrics, they're right up there with Matt Chapman. Now, a video dive will show why Matt Chapman is truly great at a defender, and Madrigal is kind of just toolsy. But if it's defense, I think the argument would probably lean towards Madrigal instead of Bodie.
Fair. I'm still leaning Bodie. And I will say, I was a little harsh. Alex, you made a good point. I shouldn't say I never want to see Morel at third base ever again. I just super would prefer not to. How about that?
No, I get it. I get it.
That makes sense.
I get it. It does concern me. It very much concerns me. And I think people are brushing it off as insignificant. And I don't think it's insignificant.
Yeah. I just hope that it's not a situation where he was promised and then they just kind of have to go with it for a while because he was promised.
I don't think so. Like with that. Craig, David Ross isn't in charge anymore.
Yeah. That's a good point.
This is Craig Counsell, and
Craig Counsell is also the reason why I'm super in on Bodie right now too, because he's just a perfect Craig Counsell example guy. You know?
Sure.
It just fits the mold.
It's going to be real tough to have arguments about Craig Counsell because, like Alex was saying, he's not David Ross. If Craig Counsell doesn't know an answer, he's going to tell you he doesn't know, but he will find out. If you ask him, like, hey, what's Michael Busch looking like at first base? Hey, what's the plan at third base? He says he doesn't know because it's spring training. He has to see the data once we start the regular season. And believe me, I think a lot of the David Bodie love is because when we think of him, we think of that walk-off grand slam in 2018, and we just want to see that again. But I think in the years since...
Oh, here's the thing. I think it's different, though, than that, because yes, that was magical. I was in Wrigley that night. It was awesome, right? But there, we were asking him to be just magic, right? He was just on a magical run, and we needed him to have that magical run. Mm-hmm. Here, I know you're nothing like spectacular. I know you're not going to win MVP. I know you're not going to get a silver slugger. I know all these things. I just need you to be average. I just need an average third baseman. Because if you look at the top of the lineup, I got Nico. I got Dansby. I got Christopher Morel in the DH, Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ. If all these guys do what they're capable of, there's your production right there, right? Even all the way down to Yan Gomes, which I wrote something the other day on Twitter about how Yan Gomes is just not appreciated enough for what he's done in his time in Chicago.
Because
when he came in when this team was dirt, and he's worked with these young guys, he's worked with veterans, and he's put up some incredible numbers for his age and the catcher position. But that's another conversation we can have another day because he's going to be around for a while. I love Yan Gomes. But even that, all the way down to the 8 spot, you got people that if they do what they are capable of, it's going to be crazy good. So having somebody like David Bodie down in the bottom of the lineup who is just average is going to be okay. And it's going to be better than an error that cost you a game.
You're not wrong.
No, right. One little misplay can, you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think the tiebreaker just comes to, especially if we're talking like base level player, I think the tiebreaker just comes down to Bodie not being on the 40-man roster. And I don't think the Cubs are going to pivot from the 40-man roster for someone like Bodie. Now, say this was next year, right? And we're having the conversation about Matt Shaw, and say he hasn't made his major league debut this season, which he probably will. But let's say this is next year. We're having the conversation about Matt Shaw, where we're talking about a potential elite, not just offensive player, but defensive player at third base. I think we could probably hold an argument there. For David Bodie, however, I just don't think it just carries because we're talking about a league average player that they already have on the 40-man that they already have on their roster.
That's fair. And I probably should have started this with saying I know that the Cubs are not going to put him on the opening day roster, but this is what I want as of right now.
Yeah, no, we get that.
On this day. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is what spring training is about. We have these conversations about veterans that we love.
Yeah. You know what? And you know what was fun about this week too is like now that things are ramping up, I'm in a dynasty keeper auction fantasy baseball league.
Matt Shaw.
And this week is the keeper deadline. So you got to pick your keepers, and then we're gonna have the draft next weekend. And so everybody's doing like their final wheeling and dealing, getting their keepers in line. It's just so good to be caring about baseball and statistics again.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best. So Cubs stuff, all three of us are on the internet talking about the Cubs. So follow us on the Twitters and stuff, and then you can find us, and we'll talk even more Cubs as the season goes on. So all right, boys. Couple of Sox things. This stadium thing is getting kind of weird. I'm gonna be honest with you, I can't even keep up with it, but I know that half of the people are like, just build it, whatever, and half of them are like, if you build it, I will riot in the city.
Yeah, we were about to quote Field of Dreams, and then it kind of went the other way.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to find something different. I'm
sorry. Story of the Sox.
If you build it, I will destroy stadium.
Yeah, it's a mess. True. And honestly, the Sox Bears thing doesn't make sense, because if we circle back to the primary reason why the Bears are leaving Soldier Field, it's because they don't 100% exclusively own Soldier Field. So why the Bears would go in a joint venture with another team, why the Bears would go in a joint venture with the city of Chicago again, doesn't make too much sense to me if we circle all the way back to the primary reason of why they were looking to leave in the first place. The Sox, who knows? I think Jerry wants us. I think it's so funny because I think Jerry wants a stadium, but I also think he's more than willing, if he doesn't get the stadium, to move the Sox.
Yeah, we'll see as it goes along. But I think he'll sell the team before he moves the team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's just getting weird, honestly. Yeah. And now the soccer teams are like, hey, if everybody's getting public funding, we would like some public funding. Stay over there.
Or we can move into guaranteed rate when the Sox leave.
Well, that's the thing that they talked about, but they're like, if people aren't going to Sox games, why are they going to go to a soccer game now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, with soccer, I feel like you have the fire at Soldier Field, and MLS just doesn't have the popularity in this area as soccer has throughout the rest of the entire world. So it makes, like, I think for MLS, the fire of a pretty solid following, it's made to look a lot smaller when you play in Soldier Field. It's kind of like, I'm going to make an analogy here. You know, I'm a Chicago Wolves fan, AHL, and I go to a lot of games. The Wolves are one of the top drawing AHL teams out there, but they play at the Allstate Arena, which is very, very big. Now, the Wolves in their heyday did fill up that arena when Blackhawks fans were turning away from Old Man Wirtz and the TVs were not showing the Blackhawks games. But, you know, as the Blackhawks got more popular and some of those frustrated fans started turning back towards the Blackhawks, the Wolves were still drawing well. They just weren't selling out nearly as often. And you would get average to good crowds at a Wolves game that, by AHL standards, look good, but the arena is so big, it makes the crowd look a lot smaller than it actually is. And I think that's kind of the case sometimes with the Chicago Fire. You know, by MLS standards, they might have a solid following, but, you know, you're not going to get the same following for the NHL that you do the AHL. Same with MLS versus the National Football League. So,
and it's different for different regions too, because you know, when Atlanta got their soccer team, they're selling out the Falcon Stadium, like 70,000 plus going to the soccer games.
Right.
It's just not a big deal around here.
Right.
But
exactly.
But it's enough to sustain a team. So they
There are plenty of other markets where it's not nearly as popular here. Even if is not nearly as popular as Atlanta or LA.
Yeah. And I will give them credit, because they did work out a deal with Soldier Field to be in Soldier Field, because the lower bowl at Soldier Field is more seating than them when they were playing out by Midway, you know? And so it made sense to do the move. But yes, the perception of it, you notice too, if you're watching a Fire game on TV, they try to keep it kind of zoomed in so you can't see the empty seats in the upper bowl. And they usually try to put tarps up there and stuff. But it's just a different scene. But if I don't know what is going to happen, I think the best thing for the White Sox is to move, and I think the best place to move is that place in the city that they're talking about. I would hate it if the Sox left Chicago, because I've spoken on this a lot. You know, I have I have a lot of family that are Sox fans.
Me too.
I don't hate the White Sox. I love that we're a two-team town.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to have two really good teams Chicago, because the rivalry is still fierce on the White Sox side. They still have resentment and jealousy and all these feelings towards the North side. But the Cubs don't feel anything about the Sox anymore. Like, it's just another team in the league. And I don't like that for us. I don't like it for them. I want there to be some bickering, right? I don't want these two brothers getting along. Like, I want fight. I want scraps. Not
want the Michael Bear
fight,
AJ Pierzynski fight happening again.
No, I just want.
That was the height. That was the height of the rivalry.
Yeah. I just want some stare downs. I want some pimping home runs. I want some maybe a little up and in action. You know, I want what I feel when Wilson came back to Wrigley and like all these different and when we were in a fight with the Brewers and when Anthony Rizzo was getting mad at the Reds, I want that with the team that's only 8 miles away.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, right now the Cubs just don't care.
Yeah. So we will keep an eye on that situation, even though we are Cubs fans, because it is a Chicago thing. And this is supposed to be a national sports podcast. And I realize we're not doing a great job with that, but
no,
I mean, I think a better way to describe this show is we take the national happenings and relate it back to what we care about.
Huh? Yeah. And honestly, if we look at the main national headlines, especially in the NFL, the Bears are right at the top because of their impending decision.
Yeah.
And
MLB, the Blackhawks are about to have the first overall pick again. So
Yep. Hey, they won a road game, though, for the first time since November last night.
Those power play goals were wild.
Four in one game. They had four all month.
Yeah, it was crazy. Alex, I hope you know, I'm right there with you as a Hawks fan, but I just saw you get riled up last week, and I just have to push a little bit.
That was amazing.
The Red Wings rant. I got a number of texts about that rant.
I'm good. Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Which I'm great. I'm glad people are talking about it. We want to get more engagement on this show. So, I think I had three or four texts from different people about that rant. So,
I also am trying to learn how to TikTok and stuff and video things. So eventually, when I get good, I'm going to post little clips of our show and see if we can get people to listen to us.
Oh, yeah. All right.
We'll figure it out, you know? So
yeah.
It's a three-man crew, it's a one-man production, you know. I'm trying to figure it out as we go, you know?
Oh yeah.
We're still somewhat in beta mode, so to speak.
For sure.
Definitely. Definitely in beta mode. So yeah, and I don't want to talk about the Bulls. So there you go. Huh?
Hey, but good for Coby White. He had that career high. Yeah. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Good for Coby White.
Shout out Coby White. And for me in that game, it wasn't about the points, it was about the assists and the rebounds. That was what made it.
And honestly, I feel bad because Coby White pretty much makes me Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. Like, I always say, I am done with this team. But then, I'm watching Coby gets me excited and I'm right there, chanting Coby on the couch.
Yeah. For me, it's Dumb and Dumber when they go the wrong way and he comes back on the bike and says, just when I think you could any dumber, you pull something like this. And totally redeem yourself. Yeah. That is Chicago sports in a nutshell, quite honest.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, boys. Anything else you want to talk about before we get the hell out of here?
Yeah, I just want to say congrats to the new Bears center, Ryan Bates. The Bears probably could have signed him since the Bills cut half their team today. But hey, glad they got their man for a fifth round pick.
Hey, if he's good enough to play in the NFL, then you could say, hey, use your fifth rounder on a reliable NFL player. And as we know, fifth rounders can be major lottery tickets.
No. Sure. Yeah. No. Yeah, I'll take it. Whatever.
No.
Yeah. Alex, anything else before we get the hell out of here?
Well, before we get the hell out of here, I do want to say one quick thing as we head further into this spring training. And that is, and it's kind of tying in the Bulls and the Blackhawks and everything here, but I just want to express, my goodness, do we need the Cubs to be good, because they're literally our only hope right now. Through all the crap that we've seen, through all the losing and the tough losses, we just need something, man. And I really hope that this team can provide something, because it's kind of funny. There are days when I look at this Cubs team, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we really are legit. And then there are other days I look at, one, some of the holes, and two, like, I look at the NL Central and I understand that on paper it doesn't look great. But man, that Reds team scares the daylights out of me. And yeah. I just,
yeah.
The Cardinals on paper don't scare me, but they're the Cardinals. And I just feel like the baseball scales are going to tip back into their favor. And the yeah. Brewers are going to somehow find a way to pull 85 wins out of their butt. And the Pirates, like we mentioned before, are going to be pesky. So I don't think the ceiling of the NL Central in terms of wins is going to be high, but you're going to have a lot of teams competing for that low bar, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I hear you. You know, I think we're going to be okay, because, and I'm just going to, let's just talk about what happened today. Justin Steele, first inning alone, he gets a first pitch ground out, and then he strikes out a guy on three pitches, and then he gets another strikeout, 11 pitches in the first frame. Justin Steele has his stuff. He's ready to go. And in the second inning, he was toying with some things and he got rocked, but he was toying with things. Like he said after the game, he feels really good. He's got a couple things he wants to work on, but overall, he's ready to go. That's what you want to hear from your starting pitcher, potentially ace, potentially opening day starter.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about starters is that they just go out there and throw. They're just getting back in rhythm. It's like, okay. Yeah.
And very famously, Greg Maddux used spring training to throw guys stuff they will never see in the regular season, mm-hmm. and then torch him in the regular season, which is, mm-hmm. I think, what we're seeing a little bit with Kyle Hendricks. But we're just talking about today. The other thing I want to bring up is Seiya Suzuki. Today, Seiya Suzuki hit two balls harder than I've ever seen him hit two balls. One of them was caught for an out very close to the wall.
And the second
one went over the wall. So, mm-hmm. And also Jake Marisnick got a haircut and it screwed me up.
I know. I saw the highlight. Weird.
I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. But Alex, I really do think that, like, the Cubs are going to be in the conversation until the end this year. I really do believe that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I'm trying to believe that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So Jordan is going to name the podcast this week. The three of us are going to go around and say what we think the headline is next week. Alex, what's the headline next week?
Okay. So I promise this will be my last time of repeats, but I'm going to will that Bedard hat trick in one more time.
We'll lead the show if it happens, or if it doesn't, quite honestly.
Well, we did this time, so we can do it again, regardless.
I'm going to say we're going to lead the show with Kirk Cousins signs in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins signs in Atlanta. Russell Wilson signs a deal with someone, and Justin Fields is traded to another place.
Okay.
All is going to happen in the next week. That's a threefer for the people.
I know. How about that? I am going to say we will start the podcast with the Bears talking about the Bears signing Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle.
Interesting. Next week, I do want to get into what the Bears are going to do with the 9 pick. So be thinking about that this week, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Cool. And then for the name of the episode, we'll go with Christopher Bell at the hot corner.
Yes.
I love it. All right, everybody, do us a favor. Go to Twitter, look up Through the Garden, follow that account, and then click on all of our handles in the bio, and then follow those accounts, and then read all of our blogs. We would super appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And we'll do it again next week.
Let's do it.